Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
It's Monday, 20 June. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Mia Kruger, I want to touch on renewable energy infrastructure. We spoke about this almost exactly 2 years ago, and I thought time for looking. Particularly, I mean, there's lots happening around the energy space, of course, and if anything, the move to renewable has accelerated. Orion Minerals CEO Errol Smart, they were planning to have announced early this morning in Australia time some funding. That hasn't been announced, but I want to chat with them. They've got their copper zinc copper project in the Northern Cape. And then 10X CIO, active versus passive, he makes the argument that it shouldn't necessarily be an either or, that actually we can work with both in a portfolio. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. More landlords forced to cut rents by 14% as major retailers play hardball. As an example, the Fashini Group is paying rents last seen pre-pandemic. It's a rock and a hard place. You want a tenant, but you're going to get less for it. And from Business Day, in the same theme, savvy investors snap up smaller malls across SA. This certainly has been the story. Those smaller regional malls, some of the more rural malls, and even within the cities, but not those giant ones, the sort of simpler, open plan malls doing very well. Morning markets, US was green on Friday, S&P up 0.2%, NASDAQ 1.25% higher, and the US is closed today for the Juneteenth holiday. Asia is red, Sydney off 0.7%, Tokyo down 1.7%. Commodities, mostly green, gold, 1,845. Brent, the red one, which is good news, $112.82 a barrel. Platinum, $931. Palladium, $1,847. Rand, $16.01 against the dollar. We've got Tencent trading down 0.2% in Hong Kong. Top 40 looking for about a 200-point green open. That's a third of a percent. Bitcoin, just above 20,000.
MoneyWeb Now. On the Money. Also available on podcast.
Tony now with Mia Kruger from Kruger International. Mia, appreciate the early morning as always. It was 2 weeks ago this week, sorry, 2 years ago this week that we were speaking around renewable energy infrastructure. You've of course got a small listing locally down from the Eastern Cape, the Tutsikamma project, but we'd been looking at globally, and I imagine it's been a strong 2 years. Certainly the theme was always on the side of renewable, but that's only got stronger. And of course, the traditional combustion energy has come under pressure with significant price increases, most notably across Europe.
Good morning, Simon. Yes, this is a very, very clear case of where the talk in the media and what has been happening on the price side have not really been explained in your portfolio if you've been holding international renewable energy counters. And if I'm talking renewable energy counters here, I'm talking about the listed instruments. There are various sort of hybrid players which hold various projects like NextEra, Brookfield's Infrastructure Partners, etc. And then, of course, we've got companies like Ørsted, who provide is the largest provider of wind installations in the world, and we've got some of the other players there. And all these have come under pressure, specifically over the last 2 years. We've seen a very strong performance of these counters over the longer term of 5 years, etc., and longer. But over the last year, since we've seen COVID, and especially over the past 12 months and 18 months, combustion energies like oil and natural gas have outperformed everything else. There's various reasons for this. And one of the main reasons, of course, is the fact that we've seen the Russian and Ukraine invasion, and that has placed a big emphasis on where these natural resources come from, who supplies them, and where the world's big demand will be satisfied from. Now, we all know that putting up a wind farm or putting up a solar plant is not an overnight exercise. Even in South Africa, where we've had the allocation to providers or to energy providers firstly, allowing companies to produce their own energy of up to 100 megawatts. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, many of these private producers now supplementing Eskom. That's already been happening for the past nearly 10 years in South Africa, but more of these projects being awarded. And one of the big lags there is the fact that it takes quite a lot of time to get over all the regulatory hurdles to make it possible for you to start digging in the ground and putting up these plants. And then, of course, that is quite an intensive construction process for a year or longer. So it doesn't take, it isn't overnight to put up these plants. And we all know that the world needs it. The transition in developing countries like South Africa and Africa in general takes much longer than we see globally. So there is a huge scope for investment into this area. But of course, like any long-term investment, especially into something that needs to be constructed and then start producing energy, it's not a short-term investment, but far longer term. And that's really why we like this asset class. But there's so much that needs to be done in South Africa still to make this accessible to retail investors.
Absolutely. And that's the big challenge. And of course, a quick last point. I mean, you make the point that markets are, yeah, sometimes they're like six-year-old kids and they sort of run to the shiny things. And in this case, right now, it's the traditional sort of, you know, oil and gas that's giving the price return. So market run is there. Longer term, however, they're going to come back to renewable because that is the future.
Absolutely, Simon. And maybe just to answer this point finally for you is the fact that we really think that transitioning to renewable energy in your portfolio should be a transition, as I say. So including a hedge like some oil exposure, mm-hmm. or some natural gas exposure is really not a bad idea, because over the long term, you also want to manage your, firstly, the liquidity, but also the volatility in the portfolio, which is very important. And this is not an overnight investment case. In South Africa, we're struggling to get more of this exposure for the retail investor, but we are making progress. We've been very, very happy with our investment in Gaia Renewables up until now. It's been a very successful investment. Return-wise, we've returned nearly 70% of our capital outlay in that investment in less than 2 years. But these projects in South Africa is in high demand. And it's not only South African investors, and I'm talking institutional investors that are picking these investments up and keeping them for their own balance sheets, but also very many of the larger funds like Nor Fund and the big international renewable energy funds are investing in Africa and helping us really to explore this this avenue of energy production in South Africa and Africa to make it sustainable and to offer economic growth. So it's an exciting area, but many moving parts and many things to consider, and not that accessible yet, unfortunately, to the retail investor.
We'll leave it there, but I like that idea about the blend. It doesn't have to be all in either direction. Mia Krüger, Krüger International, always appreciate the early morning.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Errol Smart. He's from Orion Minerals, CEO there. Errol, appreciate the early morning time. I was just chatting renewable energy there with Mia Krüger and going through a presentation of yours on the website around your press in the Northern Cape. You've actually gone big on using renewable energy on the mine with both solar and wind power, of which, of course, Northern Cape is perfect.
Yeah, good morning, Simon. Yeah, Northern Cape is perfect, and we have really got a perfect situation because we've got massive renewable energy projects funded by overseas investors, and there was a lot of press last week of the Prieska Power Reserve project funding out of Europe to build one of the biggest renewable, so solar, wind, to generate hydrogen and ammonia for export to Europe. And that's basically all on our mine doorsteps. So we're in a very fortunate position there, and it puts us in a position for something pretty unique, is to be able to produce the critical metals that are required to generate the power, the copper and the zinc and also the nickel that we've got up the road at Jacobsmeyn, we'll be able to produce that using renewable energy. So you've got a completely certified green product.
Yeah, I get your point in that, because your power source, and then of course you talk around the water as well in the presentation, and then output is that copper and zinc. Priscar, we chatted at some point last year around it, and you were having some challenges with local communities. Has that been resolved?
Yeah, that's largely resolved. We work very intensely with the local communities. We did have a task group put together by the Premier's office that's been very effective, is getting the two groups together to speak to each other, get a little bit better understanding. In fact, at the mining in Darbo a couple of weeks ago, we took 28 international investors underground and showed them the mine, and the day later we took underground all the town councillors. So we are starting to find each other very well. They work together and it's constructive for everyone. The community is starting to see the long-term benefit of a mine now, and there is desperation. You know, these impoverished communities have got needs and government has to fill those needs, but we as social partners are also doing our share there.
Yeah, no, I take your point. And it is, and particularly in parts of the Northern Cape, really, really tough there. The Prieska mine, you've got the bankable feasibility study. It is fully permitted. You'll make an announcement in the next couple of days around funding on that. And I remember from previous conversations, this is not necessarily extremely long lead times. I mean, you talk around taking folks underground already. I mean, this is an old mine that you're rehabilitating and going to be remining.
Yeah, that's right. It's a brownfields development. We have done the original bankable study was done on getting into production at the highest rate possible, doing 2.4 million tons per annum from the start. But we've actually taken a step back, and with the metal prices where they are at the moment, a person wants early cash flow. So we're looking at going in at half scale, 1.2 million ton per annum, mining a little open pit first, taking out some pillars. And the lead time on that, we'd be in production within 19 months. And we've secured more than two-thirds of the capital required for that with a financing package from Triple Flag. It's a stream financing just on byproduct gold and silver, not impacting on our copper and zinc production. And we are in very advanced discussions with development finance agencies to provide the balance of the funding. And right now we're busy with a capital raise to give ourselves working capital to kickstart some of the other projects around and also just get everything moving.
We'll leave it there. Announcement probably coming through Wednesday. All smart, Ryan. Minerals appreciate the early morning time.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com. or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Trading now with Antonessa, 10X CIO, 10X Investments. Anton, appreciate the early morning time. If we go back 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, the debate around active versus passive investing was fairly divided, and it was kind of folks sitting in separate camps and kind of either or. You make the point that actually the debate is now nuanced, and the smart investors probably doing some of both, and depending on their requirements will depend on the percentages, but passive and active actually work very well together.
Hi, morning, Simon. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's been that way kind of globally for a long time, where, you know, you either believe in passive or you believe in active, and everyone has these very strong views either way. But it all changed really about 5 to 10 years ago, particularly in the US and Europe. Mm-hmm. And this whole idea of, well, let's really think about how we can bring these things together, and in the end, ultimately reduce costs and deliver great returns for clients net of fees. And if you look at a large part of active management, a large part of what's actually happening within the portfolio is effectively a replication of the index.
Yeah.
So a lot of you know, consumers are paying active fees when in fact 80 to 90% of what they're getting is index replication. So by bringing the two together, you know, you can reduce fees and deliver a better result for the client.
And the one space, I mean, because I've always done it, because I've, you know, I recognize I have blind spots. Area, you know, for example, bonds. I know nothing about bonds, so if I want some bond exposure, I'm better off just getting a passive and fitting that into my portfolio. I remember chatting with your new CEO Torby when he came in late last year, and you know, he was making the point that there's some regions where you actually anticipate alpha being maybe easier, and I use that word cautiously, to achieve, and therefore you would perhaps want some active. So it's going to be kind of that horses for courses, to throw a bad cliche out.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, and bonds, I think, is actually a great asset class to use, because if you look at government bonds, you know, you're spot on. You know, in the end, government bonds, very difficult. Effectively, you're taking a view on the movement in rates, mm-hmm. you know, and therefore on inflation. There's a little bit of a kind of a macro political view as well. But in the end, it's a very one-dimensional bet that you're taking. You know, do you believe rates are going to go up or down? And to really get that consistently right is very difficult. Whereas in corporate bonds, so credit markets, where you have the ability to buy, you know, numerous issuers, your access to issuance is very important. There's so many other elements coming in that you really can see why, you know, doing that in a passive way, which is effectively buying the corporate bonds issuers, which are issuing more and more and more, which is kind of counterintuitive. You really, you know, you can see the ability to really generate active, reliable alpha there. Whereas in government, less so. So that's a great asset class to use. As an example.
And you'd mentioned fees, and you know, part of the debate, as you say, back in the day, 5-10 more years ago, it was all about fees, and fees are important. I mean, we totally get that, but you know, these days we've seen pressure on the downside, both in active and in the passive space. And if you're going to pay an extra, I don't know, maybe 20, 30, maybe even 40 or 50 points more for active who can deliver and is delivering alpha, particularly perhaps in their niche, again, well worth that extra bit of fee.
Yeah, definitely. That's right. And I think, you know, there are some great active managers out there. Mm. And they typically are specialists. They've got areas where they've got great analysts, great teams focused on it, and a proven track record. And, you know, there, absolutely, that's where you want to be paying for as you say, for alpha, and using that fee kind of very, very carefully. But then in also in asset classes like infrastructure finance, in mm-hmm. in private asset classes like credit or equity, you know, that's where the need to pay up is very important. And therefore freeing up your, let's say, your cost budget by utilizing index to replicate the other portion of the much more difficult areas to generate alpha, to spend it on areas where you can kind of get that alpha is very important.
Take that point. We leave it there. That's 10X Investment CEO Anton Esser. And that's our question today on our LinkedIn and Twitter, talking around this active versus passive debate. Where do you fit into it? How do you build your portfolio? I've long used a bit of both, with the passive really sitting at the core and then kind of using the active more as a satellite. You can have your vote. You can have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. That's it for today. Remember to have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit StanLib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, MoneyWeb website and app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nabokhle, Nicole Tetetso, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. We're going to be talking storage results and Discovery Bank.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.